The other day I was memorizing a Bible verse. Do you ever do that? Memorize a Bible verse? Huh? This was Job 23, verse 6. Job is trying to find God. He can't find God. He says, if I go forward, he is not there. If I go backward, I perceive him not. If I go to the left, I don't see him, nor to the right. But then he says, but he knows the way that I shall take. So I don't know where he is. Like, I want to meet him because I want to talk and make a case with him. This is the word case is like for a court. He'd like to appear in court with God and argue his place. This is the idea. This is Job 23. But the verse I memorized was verse 6, and it says, will he plead against me with his great power? Maybe we could put that up on the screen. Job 23, I believe it's verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? And then he says, no, he will put his strength in me. No, he will put his strength in me, so let's see. Would he contend with me in his great power? No. But he would take note of me. In my King James, it is, he would put his strength in me. Yeah. Okay, this is the meaning. Job knew the nature of God, that God would not destroy him. Would he plead against me with his great power? No. He would help me. He would put his strength in me. New Testament way of saying it, is God against me? Could he crush me? He wouldn't. He wouldn't do that. He would put his strength in me. He would send the comforter. He would fill me with his spirit. He would speak to me. He would encourage me. He would edify me. That meant a lot to me this past week because I think of life in different ways, like all of us. And some people, they do struggle. But always remember, God is not against you. He is for you. And that he'll put his strength in you. He is your friend. He is your father. He sends you the Spirit. He gives you promises. He cares for you. He will not give to you more than you can handle. Yes, Job knew this. And then he says in Job 23, verse 12, he knows the way that I shall take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But he still can't find God to make his case. But he's saying these things, and he's like hitting a target. It's like a good counseling session for us. So make note of it, Job 23. The Lord will speak to your heart about it. This morning we have Pastor Steve is going to give some announcements. Pastor Eugene and Pastor Shabelli returned from Africa. And so they're both going to share with us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see everyone here. And thank you. One verse, and then you can sit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the body of Christ. We are members one of another. This is a great mystery, but it's a great blessing to us. Bless this portion and the portion to follow. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So we had an awesome time. For me, 6 days in Malawi and then 8 days in Uganda. It was supposed to be seven. And then the day I was supposed to fly early in the morning, a plane skid off the runway, which shut down all flights coming in and going out. And so that night, 11 o'clock at night, I'm getting ready in this long line from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., standing there waiting, only for the person to come out and say the flight's not going tonight. And I'm looking at it, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay, so back to the hotel. Awesome time with Pastor Belly. But interesting, we had graduations in both Malawi and Uganda. And I was thinking of this thought, you know, that in the body of Christ, the Christian life, the Word of God likens it to a race. But it's an interesting race, okay? I liken it to two races into one. It's a relay, but it's also a marathon. But what's interesting about this relay, if you know about relay racing, is that you are running and you reach back and you grab the baton, and then you hand the baton to the next person ahead of you, right? That's a relay. But not with the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, the person who passes the baton to you runs with you. They don't stop running. And we were talking about that in the body in graduation, because we had people stand up that had graduated before from Bible college, and we said this statement, we're running with you. You're not running alone. We run with you. You're not taking classes alone. We take classes with you. You're not evangelizing alone. We evangelize with you. You're not going to a country by yourself. We are going with you. You're not raising a family alone. We're raising a family with you. This is the body of Christ. And we do it with patience. And the amazing thing about it is we're looking to Christ. And it was awesome. We had amazing. We had pastors in Malawi. We had pastors from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, from Zambia, from South Africa, from Malawi. We even had Pastor Adam, Speedy, and Micah come from Houston all the way to Malawi. And it was awesome. The Armands there. Where's Pastor George and Carol? And you just see what the body of Christ is all about. Members one of another. We're running together. We don't run alone. And you know, it's amazing because so easily you can run and you can say, I'm stopping. And God says, continue. You say, but I ran away. God says, keep running. Keep running. Because the next generation can't do it by themselves. This is the body of Christ. We run together. And then we went to Uganda. And we had pastors from Sudan, from Kenya, from Sudan, Kenya, all throughout Uganda, and the same principle. We're running together. And this is amazing because no other kind of race is like the body of Christ. You know, have you been tired running? Right? Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord renews their strength. How does our strength get renewed? Somebody runs alongside of us. And they say, you're valuable. God is with you. Don't quit. How many times do we hear from pastor, don't quit. Don't quit. We would hear it when we came in the door. And sometimes they're running and we're tired and we're just dragging in. And someone puts their arm around us. And they say, let's run together. It's amazing. This is a great mystery because the world sees the body of Christ running. You know, we were just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come together as the body of Christ and to lift each other up and to run with one another and hold the other by the hand and say, let's go. Let's go. You know, it's amazing whether it's Europe, whether it's Asia, whether it's India, whether it's Africa, whether it's Canada, wherever it is, Latin America, we're all running together. We're all running together. And it's such an encouragement for us because when we went, the body came with us. We got phone calls, we got text messages, we got emails. We knew the prayers of the body was with us. This is the race we have. It's a unique race. Because we run it with patience. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But it's a marathon running together. right? And in closing, this is amazing. How does the world know that we are his disciples? The love we have one for another as we run together. We love each other, we run together. We weep with each other, we run together. We pray for each other, we run together. This is amazing. This is amazing. And you know what? When you see it, it encourages you, it strengthens you, it builds you. Maybe you were a little bit weak in the knees. And you say, I'm going to run again. I'm not quitting. Because we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the source, and he's the one that brings it to the completion. So maybe you're here, like me, like all of us, and you're like, I don't want to run. I don't want to run. And someone comes up to us and say, you know how awesome you are? You know there's nobody like you? Pastor Melly preached this amazing message, Pastor Belias. His seat is empty, and you will be missed. It's amazing the people that God has put in our lives that ran with us. And there's a great cloud of witnesses looking and saying, keep running, keep running. We're running with you. This is the corporate body in heaven and in earth. One purpose, we run. So with that thought, as we pray for the offering, we're one. We run together. We give together. And what we give, God uses it so others can run with us. They can get to know Christ. They can get saved. They come into a local body. They are knit one together. They are members one of another. And you know what's amazing? Convention comes and we're running. We say, who are you? They say, I'm running with you. Wow. That's what convention is. People come and we're all running together. So let's pray for the offering and let's give a great offering. Why? Because we have a faithful God who has run before us, who runs with us, who runs in us and comes behind us and says, keep going. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you for the amazing testimony here and around the world, what Jesus Christ has done. Bless this offering. Use it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, please stand with me and open up your Bibles to two portions of Scripture. The first one is going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and the next one will be Titus chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Titus chapter 1, looking at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as you have been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for an eternal purpose, Lord. This morning, Father, we come before you and we ask that you would help us, quicken us, that we would hear personally and specifically what the Holy Spirit has to say to us as a local church. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Bless Pastor Shabelli. Anoint this message to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
Stay right here for a minute. Yes. You may be seated. A little illustration about the message about holding fast. We did this in Africa, but I thought I'd do it here this morning. He's got the Bible in his hand. I can't get it out of his hand. There's some movements, some places, some Christians can just take it away. You can just take it away. But with us, as Paul says to Titus, you hold fast. You hold fast. You don't let go. You hold fast. Not through your own power, but kept by the what?
The power of God.
kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. And that's amazing. The word hold fast is an interesting word in the Greek language, and it means there's a prefix to it, and it means there's opposition to us holding it fast. There's going to be opposition to the holding fast. And we see that everywhere in this world today, whether it's in America or Africa or South America or Asia, there's all kinds of opposition. Yet the weapons of our warfare are not human or carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I love that portion of scripture. Holding fast, this is so important. It's not so much about what kind of gifts somebody has or how gifted they are, how so-called talented they are, but is faithfulness a part of their lives? Are they holding fast? Because not their own ability to hold fast, but God holds fast to me. Amen? Deuteronomy 33:27, he said to Moses, the eternal God is your refuge and strength, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out and destroy the enemy from before you, holding fast. I was thinking of these two amazing sisters right here. There's, I can't even see them. Yes, they're right there. There's Kathy and Mary. Yeah. Though it's the lights. It's not my eyes yet. That's coming. But they've held fast. They've been faithful women of God and their husbands, and it's amazing. Holding fast. I think about John and Kathy Ryan sitting there, and they've been holding fast for decades. I think it's like 70 years now you've been in the ministry. No, I'm only joking. It's a number of years. And then the Benoits sitting over there and holding fast. This is very important in my personal life, to hold fast. And Titus is told to do this because on the island of Crete, Paul says, by the way, this is a ministry for you, Titus, because Titus was the kind of a person that could handle this. He had the gifts from God. He was faithful. And he was in the middle of quite a situation. He's in Crete. And this is what the Bible says. And Paul verifies it as being true. Cretans are, oh, if there's any Cretans here, please excuse me. This was then. That's not, I'm not saying it's now. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. I didn't say shit belly, I said slow bellies. Okay? They're always liars. They need the truth of the Bible, the doctrine. Evil beasts, they don't know grace. They're evil beasts. They're not good. They're evil beasts. And they are lazy. Three things that Cretans needed from the ministry of the Holy Spirit and from the Apostle Paul's ministry was truth to take care of their always liars. Okay? What takes care of evil beasts? Grace takes care of evil beasts. And they needed the Spirit's power to take them out of their passivity. And this is really so important for us, holding fast. Holding fast. This is so key. You can see so many things that are happening in Christianity, and I can see people that maybe held fast, and nothing against them. It could happen to any one of us today or tomorrow based upon circumstances and situations that we give ourselves to or we submit to, and they're not holding fast anymore. It's really interesting how faithful God is. When I was coming back on the airplane, which is a lot of airplane rides and immigrations and give me your passport and where's your vaccination card and where's your PCR test and where's your shot record. And I'm like, after a while, that just gets a little bit weary, you know, and on it goes. So I'm getting ready to go into the airport, and I see the airport in the place I am, and there's like 200 people waiting to get into the airport in a line. I haven't even talked about getting the immigration yet, or security, or to the gate. I'm thinking this is going to be like a 6-hour adventure, which I'm going to miss the plane. So I'm standing there, you know, like just stewing over the whole thing with an aggravating attitude that was faithless at the particular point in time, exhausted and weary from the journey and whatnot. So this soldier, a soldier comes next to me. He says, "Papa." I said, "Who are you?" He goes, "I feel like right now that you are like my father." He said, "Follow me." He took me to the gate where the airplane was taking off. Took me through immigration. And by the way, when you're walking with a soldier, nobody stops you. Police will say nothing. I was walking with a soldier. He's walking next to me. He says, go to the front of this line. He goes right to the front, cuts in on everybody. And I know that sounds a little bit, you know, like, is that some kind of privilege? Yeah, God gives privileges. There's no doubt about it. And he brings me all the way to the gate. He says, it's okay now. And he says to me, where's your church? I know you have a church here. I think it's in Nansana or Kampala somewhere. So I had him connect and call Pastor Sam Muhima. And I thought, I don't know what will become of it, but I thought, this was someone sent by God to keep me in a place where I'm held fast. And I love it, being held fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. To what? Hold fast. He's telling Titus, you've got to hold fast because there's all kinds of things that are coming against you. Hold fast to the faithful word as you've been taught. Amen? You hold fast to it. It can be taught and taught and taught and taught and preached and preached and preached and preached. But it is our responsibility, our possibility in our Christian life to either, you know, put it in a notebook and write it down and where'd my notes go, or let it really sink down. Jesus said in Luke 9, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Let them sink down. Hold fast the faithful word as you've been taught. And I was thinking about some of these things, like these generations. There's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, their children and their children's children. In Genesis chapter 50, it names seven different generations. And you can see from the beginning, from Abraham all the way to Manasseh's children's children, there was something about what was taking place in their lives. And they were called, as we all are, to hold fast. Because there's so many things that are going on out there. Holding fast the faithful word as you have been taught. Look at the ministry. We think of Dr. Stevens and then Pastor Schaller. Dr. Stevens holding fast to God's doctrines and truths. And then Pastor Schaller running in that same race. And then on and on it goes as we come down the line, all the way into generations, seven or eight generations. Didn't we say one time there was eight generations or something of greater grace people? Maybe. I don't know if that's exactly right, but generation after generation after generation, and all of us have the responsibility of that taking place. We've got the Pastor Barry Cork over there handling our kids, our grandchildren, right? They hold fast, right? You teach doctrine in those classes. You take them on evangelism. You introduce them to body life and they participate in it. They know what prayer is all about. They're holding fast. Because there's so much letting go today. Just letting it go. You can just take it right out of their hands. You know, take it out of their hands. All the isms that are out there. All the strange religions. All these movements. All these things that are so contrary to the faithful word. We've got a faithful word. It's incredible. Here's this faithful word. And we are to hold fast to it. And you can see this generation after generation. I was thinking about Daniel. And you know, and how Daniel, he went through one thing after another. Daniel 1, the food test, and all that took place there to want to change their names, change their identity, change the food they eat, change their learning, change their language. It was just to change them. And you know what Daniel said? I will not defile myself with this food. I'm holding fast. Maybe he was one of the only ones, along with the three Hebrew boys, out of everybody, the thousands of Jews that were taken and brought to Babylon. I don't know. I'm not so sure what took place there. But it mentions Daniel, and he said, no. No, I'm not going to receive that. No, homosexuality is sin. No, this is wrong. No, drugs will kill you. No, alcohol. No, alcohol. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Okay? No, I say no, that I want to hold fast to the things that I've been taught. Hold fast to the faithful word, because the enemy's coming. Oh yeah, I did that when I was young, but now I'm old. I like what David said. I have been young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What's he saying? Hold fast. Hold fast. This is what's going on. Jesus held fast to the Father's plan. Even when it looked like it was going to take his life from him, which it did, he was holding fast. Caleb said, 45 years ago, he said to me, you can have this mountain. Moses told Caleb. And he said to Joshua, this is 45 years later, give me this mountain. I'm holding fast to a promise from God. Amen? God giving you any promises? Hello? Are you here today? God giving you any promises? What are you going to do with them? Let them go? Huh? Throw them away? Like straw or something? You hold fast to the promises of God. God gave me a promise. He's going to continue to use me. God gave me a promise. I'm going to bear fruit in my older age. God gave me a promise. He's going to find me a person to disciple me. God gave me a promise. He's going to heal me. God gave me a promise. He's going to use me wherever God sends me. These are promises from God. And we have an opportunity to either let go or what? Hold fast to them. Holding fast, not to our own power, kept by the power of God. This is so important in our Christian lives. When I saw Pastor Belias' wife come to the Malawi convention, that was such an encouraging thing for me. That she lost her husband, he went home to be with the Lord. Yet, she comes right to the convention, knowing that if he was alive, he'd be there. And I'm going to hold fast to the ministry that my husband was a part of. Amen? That's amazing. That was amazing. Holding fast. You see the generation of Armands. You see Pastor George and his wife. And then you see Pastor Chris and all of it. Then you see the children. And what are they doing? They're out on evangelism. They're out reaching out. They're at prayer meetings. What's going on there? They're holding fast. They're holding fast. I don't know if you know this, but I think we visited or we met pastors of 96 churches on this trip. 96 different churches from 14 countries. And you know what? I was so edified. Why? What are they doing? Holding fast. They're holding fast. They're not wavering. They're not changing. We live in this unbelievable changing world. When God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I what? I change not. Look at that. How many of you really know that Bible, huh? I change not. I'm not changing. It's not taking place. And they can say, somebody said to me, wow, your hair is white. I said, it just depends on how you look at it. I said, what does that matter anyway? You know, what does that matter? You know, somebody said to me, how many more years are you going to do this for? I said, till I'm dead. Like, what the heck, what do you think I'm supposed to, retire? Or quit? Or do something else? Oh, I know, sit home and write books. No, I'm not a writer. No, I don't write. I can't even read my own notes. I don't even know why I bring them up here. I write my own notes and they're so confusing to me. And the left-handers smudge everything and can't write. At all. I've told that my whole life. And I held fast to that. It was true. Hold fast. We got to keep going. That's what we love about Pastor Schaller. He just holds fast, right? And there's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be troubles. Hello? Somebody said to me, I can't believe what happened in the church. Oh, really? When's the last time you read the Bible? You can't believe what happened? Two of my best friends turned on me in the ministry. Oh, really? Well, isn't that surprising? That's shocking. I never knew that would happen. Hello? Huh? Hymenaeus and Alexander, Diotrephes, huh? Judas. Are you with me? Come on. Hold fast, right? Hold fast to reaching out to people. Hold fast to the thought. By the way, I hold fast to this thought. There is a hell. I hold fast to that. And we got a message given by God through the Spirit that can convert people from hell to heaven. Hallelujah. Hold what? Hold fast. I looked at these two precious people. They came as orphans to Uganda, little kids. And they grew up in the Christian school there, went to Bible school in Uganda, and now they're on their way to Chad as missionaries, a husband and a wife. It's amazing. What are they doing? What are they doing? Holding fast to the faithful word. Not to people. We can become unfaithful. It can be just like that. But they hold fast to the faithful word. It's just incredible how important this is. Because there's such movements by the devil and demons using the world system and carnal Christianity and all kinds of influences to come in so that we will just simply not what? Oh, I know. You're old. You people are old-fashioned. You really still believe that stuff? I said, no, we're not old-fashioned. We're Bible-fashioned. We're fashioned by the Bible. We're not fashioned by the things of this world. Hold fast. Hold fast to what you've been taught. We've been taught grace. Hold fast to grace. I don't want to be like this. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I marvel. I'm shocked, Paul said. The word is thamuzo. I'm shocked that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some who trouble you and pervert. Pervert the gospel of grace. He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach or teach unto you any other gospel other than what you've received, let them be accursed. Let them be anathema, unfit for use. They were coming at the church. They were coming at the church. He left the church. 6 years later, they were coming full force, bewitched people, satanized people. People with wrong doctrines, wrong teaching, wrong influences. People that might even have the doctrine and might say, yeah, we believe in grace, but there's never any application by faith. What do? We hold fast. We hold fast in the marriage. We hold fast. These are your children. They're crazy. They're going out of their minds. But you're still my children. Go out of your mind. It's okay with me. You belong to God and you belong. Hold fast, right? Hold fast. Who knows what the end will be, right? Are you listening to me? Who knows what the end will be? We have no idea what will take place in the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years if the Lord tarries. Somebody who's doing something ridiculous now can be walking with God and be a missionary 5 years from now, 3 years from now. What do? We hold fast to praying for people. Amen? We hold fast. I was thinking this morning, like, we have like 268 churches in Africa. It's unbelievable. I don't even know how that happened. It happened in spite of some of us. I have no idea. 16,000 people come in the church on Sunday mornings. Why? Because we were taught to hold fast. Hold fast, not budging, not changing. No, not going to happen. I like that guy that stood in the middle of a field and just started, he wiped out 300 people. His sword clung to his hand. What was he doing? What was he doing? You say, I don't like that illustration. It's violent. Good. You don't like it, then you don't like the Bible. What can I tell you? He just stood there, and just anything that came at him, they were piling up everywhere. 300. What was he doing? Holding fast. Hold fast to agape love. Amen? Hold fast to mercy when you fail. Hold fast to grace when self wants to take over. Hold fast to God's faithfulness when everybody is living in unbelief. Hold fast to the power of the Holy Spirit when you have no power to continue. Hold fast to hope when everything looks like all hope is gone. Isn't that what they said in Acts 27, 22? When they were in that boat, and the boat, the storm, the boat, the mariners, the captain, the owner of the ship, they were all there, said, it's over. And one man stood in the midst of them. And he said, listen, you should have listened to me. I told you not to leave that port. We should have stayed here. You should have listened to me. But since you didn't, all these things are happening. But I want you to know something. This night, the angel of God spoke to me and he said, you're going to be saved. Everyone will be saved. You're going to lose the boat. By the way, we can lose our boats. But we're going to make it. Amen? He said, everybody's making it. For I believe God it shall be even as it was told me. All hope was gone. Not for Paul. Not for Paul. All hope was gone for everybody else. 276 people, all hope was gone. I don't even know what Luke and Silas were thinking. Doesn't say. He said, but I know something. God spoke to me tonight. He told me something. And I believe it's going to happen. I'm going to what? Hold fast to it. And one man holding fast, 276 made it. Why? Because he believed God. It's amazing. Holding fast. Winds of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14. All kinds of things that are taking place. All kinds of things on that ridiculous television set. Coming at people. All kinds of new kinds of books. Have you read the latest book on this guy who went to heaven and came back and he's got this new revelation? Shut up. I'm holding fast to the only revelation from God called the Bible. The Bible speaks. Did you ever notice that? Hold fast to your dreams. Somebody always talking about dream this, I dreamt that, I dreamt this, and it happened to take place. So what? So you get 1 out of 10. Whatever. I'm not living by dreams. I'm living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Hold fast. Don't quit. Keep going. I was thinking about, like, I thank God for Pastor Eugene and Pastor Rinaldo. I don't know what in God's name I'd do if they weren't there. They hold, I can hold fast, they hold fast and then they hold me up. They hold, no, they do. I hold them up. Or do they hold me up? I don't even know. Doesn't even matter. Hold fast. Hold fast. They're there. They're right there with you. Sam Muhima, the Armin family, the Slivas. Wow. Think about that, right? What are they doing over there? Like what people are doing in Europe and Eastern Europe and South America and Asia and all across this country and Africa and wherever it may be. Every single person, these people are doing what? Simply just what? Holding fast. To what? The faithful word. A dependable word. A true word. A certain word. A reliable word. That's what the word means. Holding fast to the faithful word. It's certain. It's true. It's dependable. We've got it. Amen? We've got this word. This word is living in us. This word is preached to us. This word is taught to us. Hold fast. Well, I went to Bible school. I took 3 courses. Take 33 courses. Hold fast to the Bible, okay? Well, I started off, but you know, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. You know what I say to those things? Goodbye. Those 5 things that happened? Goodbye. I'm going to hold fast to what God's called me to. Why? Because faithful is he who called me, who will also what? He'll also do it. Holding fast. He's got us in his hand. Amen? No man, John 10:27-30, can pluck you out of my hand. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know what that means? Father's hand, Son's hand. Try and get out. Try and get out. Father's hand, Son's hand. You're there. Forever. Amen? Remember that song that they used to sing? That group called Seven. I'm in the hand of Jesus. I'm in the hands of Jesus. I'm in the hands, the capable hands of God. Remember that? Wow. That's old, yeah. I like that song. He's holding me fast, amen? He's directing my life. He is leading me in a certain direction. Yeah? So when do you think this, when do you think, how long will you do this for? Are you talking to me? You're not talking to me, are you? Well, you know, it's about time you let some other people, no. Let them come along, let them be trained, let's go. But you know what? We keep going. Pastor Rinaldo's favorite statement, keep going. He says that to me all the time. There can be times he doesn't even know what I feel like. I'm getting faint. I'm getting weak. How long can I do this for? What number? 587 airplane trips. You know what? Can't wait for the next 587 airplane trips. I'm going to hit 1,000 airplane trips. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's continue. Jesus held fast, didn't he? He held fast to the plan of the Father. The Holy Spirit led him and directed him. It's not something that's done through self-effort or something that comes from within me, but I'm kept by the power of God, and that power holds me. It keeps me in on every side. Remember we said about 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains me. It holds me in on every side and prohibits me from considering any other options. There are no other options other than what? Letting God hold you fast. And then holding fast to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue as we have been doing this for decades and decades. I think, what is it, 50 years? Something like that, 50, 55 years? When Pastor Stevens began the ministry, what was it? I don't even know. It's got to be 50 years, hasn't it? Something like that. 70 years? I don't know. Could be 70 years. You know, it's amazing. I thought about when this all started in 1976 for me, and that's 46 years. It's just beginning. Amen? Just beginning. Let's just let God hold us fast. Let's hold fast to the things of God, and let's keep going. It's 7.3 billion people out there. People need the gospel. Amen? People need to hear the gospel. People need an opportunity to get saved, to hear it proclaimed to them with this message of grace. Let's keep going. The one who never held fast is called Satan. And he left his first abode. He said, he was unfaithful. And he propagates unfaithfulness in this world. He propagates unfaithfulness in Christianity. He's the one and the demons, and along with the flesh and the world, that just always is promoting unfaithfulness. Look what happened. Look what took place. Did you see what the news said about that leader? What happened to him? Listen, I'm going to do what? Let God hold me fast. Amen? I'm in his hand, and then I'm going to hold fast to God. No letting go. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now, we've got amazing words from God. He held fast. One man in a boat, out of all men, just takes one. Takes one John Wesley, takes one Pastor Carl Stevens, takes one Pastor Tom Schaller, takes one person. One person, on and on it goes. Pastor Mati Servio and our ministry, Pastor Stan Collins. Just one person. And by the way, what takes place when people view how God is holding them fast and how they are holding fast to God? It's amazing what can take place. It's amazing. 80 countries, 75 or 80 countries we're in, with all these churches and all of them being held fast and holding fast. We thank you today. If you are here this morning or you're watching somewhere and you're not a Christian, you are not born again, you are right now being held fast by the devil. But God can loose those chains. He can break every chain. He can transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. You can simply say, Jesus, save me. That's all it is, a willful decision. It's not joining a church. It's not you doing something. It's you receiving someone. Jesus, save me. Save me. Come into my life. I want to be born again. If that's your prayer, you just acknowledge it to God. However that may be, you acknowledge it to God. We thank you, God. Jesus said to some people in John 6, will you also go away? There were so many of them. Out of those thousands of people, only the 11 or 12 remained. They just couldn't. They didn't understand what it meant. They didn't know what it meant at all. We got promises from God, and we're standing on the promises of God. Those promises are yes and amen. We thank you today. Bless our day today, the church service at 11, church service tonight. Help us to continue. Thank you for holding us fast. Thank you for holding us underneath are the everlasting arms. Help us to hold fast. In Jesus' name, amen.